Everyone, and welcome to the new United States. Just a slightly not really off topic, but what we discussed yesterday about the idea of Mashivarach Morda Goshem or Geshem, right? In the sense that Geshem means both rain and in Talmudic Hebrew also physicality. Right, and we mentioned the idea behind that is what the Nefesh HaChaim is saying, which is that just that the whole of existence is continuously, I guess, being poured down from heaven, right? Like rain is very blatantly coming from up there to down here, right? Obviously not heaven, but from up. So also everything physical is coming from up there to down here, meaning it has to be sustained by Hashem's outpouring of chesed, of desire that it should exist. And that is why we mentioned that it's in the bracha of Tchiyas HaMeisim, because if you do recognize that life is a continuous creation of Hashem, outpouring of existence, life itself is surprising and should not be taken for granted, and is in a sense miraculous, then Tchiyas HaMeisim is not really that miraculous. It's more natural. The more you take life for granted, as the Roman did, who said, Mei dehaveh, loi haveh, what exists, he starts off with his own existence, then the harder it is to believe that there'll be a re-existence in the future. And someone asked me yesterday, it's called Gvuras Geshamim. Ata Gibor Lo'olam Hashem. So the simple translation of Gibor, Gvura, is powerful. Hashem is powerful. But it is type of interesting because these prayers were written by Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, right? So I guess Pirkei Avos didn't exist yet, but we do know that in Pirkei Avos it says Ata Gibor, what Ezehu Gibor HaKoyvesh Esitzro. So can we apply that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That seems to be strange, right? Ezehu Gibor, who is powerful, HaKoyvesh, someone who conquers his inclinations. How do you apply that to Hashem, calling him Ata Gibor? So you could say, well, you know, that's a later thing, and historically the Shemoneser came first, and hence, right? Or it may be that one of the ideas here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's desire is to have a relationship with us. That's why he created the world. And he would desire to have a revelation which makes it his presence and his existence obvious to us so that we can have that relationship. However, he suppresses, I guess you could call it, that desire so that we can have free will and so that we can have a world in which there is concealment so that we can have that type of struggle. So in a sense, he's kovesh et yitzro, right? In other words, his desire that we should have free will and that we should earn our keep and be Baal HaShleimus Sahi, as Derech Hashem says, the owners, masters of that Shleimus that we have acquired, overrides the desire to have that mass to have the revelation and the openness. And so therefore, just like in rain, which is a natural phenomenon, there is within that the Rotzen Hashem, but it's hidden. Kovesh, it's like it's hidden, concealed, suppressed within that. So that's the idea of Gvuras Geshomim, which is that it's really Hashem's outpouring of Chesed, but that is condensed or compressed or concealed within a framework that we are able to call nature. Right. Does that make sense? So that's more or less the idea of being called Gvuras Geshomim, etc. And he was talking about. Chaim was talking about the idea that the world is indeed being continuously created, and as we say in davening, mechadesh tuva b'chol yom tamid, and he says tamid means kol es v'rega. In Nefesh Chaim, you'll see hagos, little notes. There are two of them. Some are from Reb Chaim Volozhin himself. And usually the longer ones are from his son, Rabbi Yitzchak. So there's a very long Hagor, which some editions print right there, some print at the end of the chapter, right? And that's from Rav Yitzchak. In the smaller Hagor, shorter Hagor, right, here is actually from Rav Chaim. And he just one of the things he points out is even though it's not recognizable, Ein chidush nikar la'ayin. I mean, you can't see it. There's a continuity, right? Just like when you, if you would watch a movie, Chalila. So, but you know, they have the, at least they used to. I don't think they do. They do it digitally now, right? So, so you've got the frames, right? They film it at whatever it is, 18 or 24 frames per second. So it's really each frame is a still. But when it runs through the projectors they used to have in Altahain in Galicia, they used to have projectors like that. Now we have digitals, right? So, but there'd be, you'd see a continuity, right? So he says even though you cannot see any chidush to the eye, right? But it is being, I guess, as he puts it, which I'm not going to go into, but he puts it that the names of the various letters of the names of Hashem that sustain creation are continuously being put together in different configurations at every moment. Just an idea behind, just one of the ideas, we see this concept manifested in the idea that Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, name of Hashem, has 12 combinations, right? Because it's 4 factorial, 4 letters. 4 factorial is 24, but 2 of the letters are the same. Hey. So therefore, it's divide by 2, so you get 12 possible combinations of the name, which correspond to the 12 months of the year. Okay, and one of the ideas is that every combination of Hashem's name is, in a sense, a different energy or a different spiritual feeling of that particular time of the year, that particular month, etc., which is manifested in those different recombinations of Hashem's name. So in Nusach Svard Sidurim, you'll see in the Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, when it says Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Torah V'Rosh Chodeshim, so there's a little, under the line there, it says for the different what kavanah to have for the different names of Hashem for a particular month. So, see, Dabnus Asfarad, you've seen this? No. So for example, the name of Hashem for Nisan is based on the posset Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sagel Haaretz, which spells out Yud Kei Vav Kei in correct order, right? Because Nisan is the time when things are happening as they should happen, right? Evil is being destroyed, righteous are being saved, and the Jews are achieving on the path to their destiny. So, Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Haaretz, heaven and earth rejoice, right? The ideal and the real are meeting, so to speak. The month of Tammuz, the beginning of destruction and churban, etc. The last letter of each word, spelling Hashem's name backwards, right? I.e., that of, right? There's that you'd have to look in an oblique way. You could still see HaKadosh Baruch Hu there, but it's coming in a direction which is not an obvious direction. Like Yismuchu Hashemayim, it's coming from Churban. The name of Hashem for Av. I think it's I forgot the posuk, but it's Hey Vav Yud Kei, because halfway through the month things switch, right? Tu B'Av, right? So Hey Vav is written out of order, but Yud Hey is written in order, right? Because you've got the 15th Yud Hey, things start to get better, right? Tu B'Av, the Nechama, and so on and so forth. So the different names of the different names. So what he says is that the recombination of that, not just every month, but every single moment. So every single moment has its own unique flavor in that sense. Yeah. I don't think there's no set from our. Is there a Nusach Svard Sidur? I don't recall an additional. No, I don't recall an additional one. So those are that's just one idea behind it, right? You know, and obviously with those letters, whatever that means, Hashem created the world. Kibeka Hashem Tzur Olamim, Kibe Yud Hey Hashem Tzur Olamim. Right? So Yud Olamim is two worlds. Yud is the world to come, and Hey is this world. Simple shot is because Yud is the letter you put before something to make it into the future tense. Hence, Yud is the letter for Olam Haba. Hey is the letter you put in front of something to make it present here. Right, ha, the, right. So that's Olam Hazeh, right? This world. So, yih, yud and hey is yihyeh, will be, and ha, olam, the world that's in front of me. So anyway, that's what he says in the Haggah, more or less, that even though you can't see it, but we believe that it is so, that there's a continuous creation. And that's what he means, v'zehu, and then he goes on to say, I was just going to tell you it's in the underlined section, but it's obviously not in your, right? Zehu anikra hu yisbarash shmo ha'elokim bal ha'koiches kulam. That's why the Torah Shulchan Aruch says that that's what a name Elohim means, bal ha'koiches kulam, shekol koach prati, haninza b'chol ha'olam, is every single individual power that is found in any one of the worlds, physical and all the different levels of spiritual worlds, ha'kol hu yisbarash shmo ha'bal koach shalahim. He is the master of all these powers. Shemashpia behem koach ha'gvura kol rega. Utsluyim b'yado tamid l'shanois l'sadram kirtsoina. They are they're all powers that are based on the ultimate power that Hashem gives. The problem with, this is one of the ways he explains later on, one of the problems with the Avodah Zarah is thinking of it as an analogy. Some Stone Age tribesman from Papua New Guinea who turns up in Port Moresby at a modern, he loses his way and he comes into Port Moresby some anthropologist gets him a hotel room and he shows him how you operate the faucet, right? And he's amazed that water comes out of the wall. You don't have to trek down to the creek, right, and get water out with your tourist skin water bag, right? So he's amazed by this, and of course before he goes back to the village, he rips the faucet out of the wall and to take it back so he'll have a water supply, right? And, sticks it into the thatched hut and he tells his friends, you've got to see, this is unbelievable, this is awesome. It's like, this is dope. So he turns it and nothing happens, right, obviously. Right, so his problem is he identifies the faucet as the source of water, which would be incorrect. There's a tank on the roof of the hotel. But if you identified that, that would also be incorrect, right? Because that gets its water from the, rain runoff from the highlands of New Guinea. But, of course, it would be incorrect to say it comes from the highlands because it comes from the rain, right? And it would be incorrect to say that it comes from the clouds because actually it's also, right, it's evaporated, and so on and so forth, until you get back to the source of all sources, Makor HaMakoros. Makoros is the Israeli water company, by the way. Makoros. But that's not what I meant. What I mean is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the source behind it. So Avodah Zarah is just cutting it off short, right? It's like you're davening to the faucet, right? As opposed to the water tank. But even to the water tank is incorrect. So, and that's how the Rambam says, when he gives his little introduction to Hilchos Avodah Zarah, his historical introduction, he says that was the first deviation, was not davening directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the first deviation. So it's directly, it's davening to a koach prati, or something, some intermediary, which is the ultimate source of all of Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam actually says in the fifth Iker that we have to daven directly to Hashem and only to Hashem. And he says that's pretty much what the whole Torah is about. Direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the whole Torah is about creating that relationship, enhancing that relationship, and keeping us away from all types of intermediaries and so on and so forth. And so Elohim Baal HaKoichos Kulam. Now I want to look at the next Haggah. So I don't know, I guess in the different editions it might appear differently. But we have to stop here. But I guess tomorrow Be'ezer Hashem. Do you have it in your editions? It says Af Shehu Shem Meshutaf. So that's from Chaim Volozhin. So we're going to look at that one. We're not going to look at one from Reb Yitzchak. That is way too much Kabbalah for me. And too many abbreviations as well. Okay, all right, fine. So we'll see you tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem.
Thank you.